Every year, on the fourth Sunday of Easter, Jesus reminds us something important about himself and, by extension, about God. I am the good shepherd, he says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is who God is, revealed for us in Jesus Christ, one who lays down his life and takes it up again for the sake of the people he loves. It recalls the cross to come, and beyond it, the empty tomb. It's a beautiful image, the pastoral scenery, but maybe absent more than a passing acquaintance with sheep, a little hard to understand. Fortunately, there's a great image circulating out there on the internet. You may have seen it. There's always great stuff out there. You can find it on the church's Facebook page tomorrow. I haven't put it up yet. There's been a video circulating the past year or so, and in the video you see a young man pulling at the leg of an animal that's been stuck in a ditch. Have you seen this? I don't know if any. Okay, I've got some nodding heads. So the young man, he grabs the animal's leg, he pulls hard as you can. You're worried about the animal. He ties a brace around the animal's leg, and it starts to wiggle, and then as it comes out of the ditch, you see it's a lamb. It appears. And the lamb is delighted at being freed. It scampers away with one great release. It leaps, it bounds into the air, it almost takes flight. How can it fly so high, you wonder? And then it lands right back in the same narrow ditch from which it escaped moments before, and it's stuck. So go look it up if you can't wait until tomorrow. It is so entertaining, you can watch it on an endless loop. So one person put it, if your pastor doesn't use this as an illustration about sin, then your pastor is not on Twitter. That's a hard connection to make sometimes because we don't want to think about ourselves as sheep. We know we're prone to making the same mistake from time to time. The Apostle Paul got there first when he said, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. So Paul uses this saying to describe our tendency to sin. It's not that we do the wrong thing once and are done with it, but we do the wrong things constantly. Even so, it still may be unfair to compare us to sheep, because we should know better. Sheep are dumb. They wander. They get stuck in ditches. No one speculates about the inner life of a sheep. And so despite our own self-criticism, we know we're not that hopeless. A few years ago, when he was a professor at Yale, William Dershowitz published a book called Excellent Sheep, which criticized the bright, ambitious, and fundamentally lost generation of students he taught in elite classrooms. His primary criticism of this generation, and it's always about kids these days, and I'm implicated in this too, it centers on a lack of curiosity about anything other than having to gain credentials that would allow these kids to gain access to even more elite institutions later on. It's why, says Dershowitz, all of these kids who graduate from Ivy League schools go into consulting and finance. It's what they're programmed for, achievement that appears on a piece of paper. So a reviewer of the book, quoting Ezra Pound, said, real education must be limited to those who insist on knowing. The rest is merely shepherding. All of which suggests that the problem with humans isn't necessarily dumbness like sheep, but directionlessness, our inability to find our way in the world despite all our advantages, our wealth, or our know-how, or our ambition. Those can lead you in the wrong direction. In his classic criticism of mid-20th century life, Message in a Bottle, Walker Percy begins his ruminations with a question. He says, why does man feel so sad in the 20th century? Why does man feel so bad in the very age when more than any other age he has succeeded in satisfying his needs and making over the world for his own use? So both the language and the time in Percy's quotation may be dated, but the point stands, we are excellent sheep. And maybe when we confront that harried feeling of busyness or questioning we encounter in the midst of our lives, we realize that we too can lose our way and stumble over things that we wouldn't quite expect. And that sounds an awful lot like sheep to me. We get lost. And if the Bible is clear about anything, it's clear about the fact that sheep get lost. Maybe we're unfair to the sheep, or we have a perception that they're dumb, which comes from somewhere we don't know. We have a negative perception of sheep because we think they're followers. We know if you're not supposed to be anything, you're not supposed to be a follower. Americans are not followers. We're leaders. Schools are not meant to train followers, but leaders. No one remembers a follower. No one follows a follower. But then where did you get that idea that you needed to be a leader in the first place? Maybe it's that sense of feeling like we have to do everything ourselves that makes us lost. Maybe, against conventional wisdom, it's the following that makes sheep actually intelligent. The preacher Barbara Brown Taylor makes this point. She knew a sheep farmer who said that the idea of a dumb sheep was just propaganda from the cattle industry. But that we should reverse the image. Cows, the shepherd says, are dumb. Because the cowboy sits in behind the herd, yelling orders, driving the herd on. And he says, if you did that to sheep, they would just turn around and line up behind you. They want to be led because they know there could be danger or uncertainty in front of them. So the sheep know not to go first. They need to be led. Someone needs to go on ahead of them. Because everyone is led by something. And if you're not led by something good, it's easy to neglect paying attention to what's ahead of you. You can be led by ambition, using one step in your life to get to the next. You can be led by a crowd, believing, doing what is popular, which is easier than actually thinking about whether or not it's right. You can be led by mass movements or politics, thinking you found the right answer for the way of the world, and all you have to do is think the right thing and get everyone else out there into your position, and everything will work out fine. You can be led by your own self-interest, thinking that as humans we are the measure of all things, that you might as well know yourself and feed yourself first. So everyone follows something. And as with most things, someone got there first, and this time it's Bob Dylan. I'm not drinking water, so I sing. You don't want me to sing like Bob Dylan. But he sings, you may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you know it, right? You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. So he says serve rather than be led. I know, but the point is the same. There's always something or someone in front of us, even if it's our own projection of who we want to be. We're always envisioning ourselves walking forward. And so if you're walking forward towards your goals, toward your vision of the life, you know it, the way it should work out, we're still following or serving something. Who do you serve? If you can't answer that question, maybe it's why you're lost. Or if you can or you don't like the answer, that can explain some things too. Israel would never have had a negative perception of sheep, coming as they were from generations of shepherds. The title of shepherd often referred to a model of leadership or kingship, or even an idea of who God was. That's what the 23rd Psalm is about. It's not simply beautiful, comforting pastoral scenery, but the idea that God is a shepherd who provides and protects and leads us beside still waters into paths of righteousness, into the house of God. Which means that despite all of the challenges that faced them over their history, often a restoration would come to Israel when they remembered to listen to the voice of their shepherd. When they remembered to listen for the one who was always before them. And so in the Gospel of John, Jesus picks up this image. And he evokes Israel's history to describe who he is as the Messiah, the protector, the king, the Lord, the shepherd. He calls himself the Good Shepherd as one of the I Am statements in the Gospel. It's one of seven I Am statements that Jesus makes. I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the sheepfold gate, the Good Shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, the true vine. The I Am identifies Jesus with God the Father. It's the name of God revealed to Moses in the book of Exodus. But the statements also lend color and depth to the disciples' picture of Jesus and ultimately God. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's enriching his disciples' understanding of God, putting the holy and ineffable God into the real terms they can understand. It's the Word made flesh all over again. Jesus makes God comprehensible to us. And so this is true in whatever way Jesus speaks. So in a few verses before where our reading begins today, the gospel describes this talk about shepherding as parable. It's a concrete story Jesus tells to reveal a deeper truth. So he uses terms his disciples will understand growing up as they did in Galilean villages in the countryside with sheep and shepherds. So when Jesus describes himself as the sheepfold gate a few verses earlier, he's describing to the disciples who God is like, a shepherd who lies across the entrance to the sheepfold at night, protecting the sheep so that no one can get in the pen without his knowledge. He calls others who try to break through the sheepfold thieves and bandits. And maybe he's thinking about the Jerusalem religious leaders or the revolutionaries who compete for the disciples' attention, which may lead them away from God. But when the disciples say they don't understand this, so if you don't understand it, you know you're not alone, Jesus then tells them who he really is. I am the good shepherd. That is, he is nothing less than a God who will lay down his life for his people, to protect them from the thieves and the bandits, to protect them from their own sin, their own visions for their lives. The New Testament scholar Raymond Brown translates Jesus' words here as, I am the model shepherd. He is the idealized vision of who a leader is. This is Jesus' description for himself, that he is, by his own free decision, the one who will lay down his life, dying for the sake of those he has come to serve. And his statement moves to the description of who exactly he has come to do this for the one great human flock, not just Israel, but the entire creation God has come to reconcile through Jesus. And Jesus continues by affirming his love for all of them. So there is an implied question which has to be asked, which is, if this is who God is, why would we ever want to follow anything else? Why do we follow anything else? It's easy to get distracted. Remember, sheep love getting lost. Or maybe recalling the image I used above, just because we've gotten out of the ditch the first time doesn't mean we won't fall right back in. It's easy to follow other voices in the world, the ones that tell you things will be better when you get the next house or the next job or the next relationship. Or the ones that tell you that the most important thing in the world is on your TV screen and you aren't paying as much attention as you should, as if the weight of the world rested on your shoulders. We hear these voices at church too, as if there are one or two things we can do differently, and then the church would become what it has always had the potential to be, or back to the way things were before COVID and everything will feel normal again. It's easy to listen to that voice, which sometimes sounds a lot like our own, as if the church could be anything other than what God makes it when we listen to the voice of the shepherd. So you hear a lot of voices that demand your attention, but only one that reminds you who God is. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." Thanks be to God. This is who God is for us in Jesus Christ. And with a shepherd like that, I wouldn't mind being a sheep. Why would we ever want to be anything else? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.